Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Samach Aleph. We're holding on Samach Amid Beis, roughly 10 lines from the bottom of the Amid, where the Gemara says, Ki Solek Ravin Omro Lishmaita Kamid Rabbi Yirmiya. What is this all about? Let's just quickly review what we learned yesterday, which will introduce us to what we're going to start today. Back on Samach Amid Aleph, on the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara told us that if the Mizbeach is pogum, then you cannot eat from the kodshim. More initially talked about, if you look six, seven lines from the bottom of the Samach Omer Aleph, Omer Ablozar, Mizbeach Shenivgam. Nivgam means that it's chipped, part of the Mizbeach has fallen away. Ein Oichlem Beginoit, at that point, you cannot go and eat any Shiori Mincha. In other words, you brought the kmitza on the mizbeach beautifully, everything was done correctly. You're about to eat from the shiori mincha, and then you realize, the mizbeach is nivgam, you cannot eat from those shirayim. Shenemar, it says, the pot v'chlu matzis eats from mizbeach. It's got to be a mizbeach sholem and not a mizbeach choser. And then the Gemara said on three lines from the bottom, okay, that's shiori mincha, but what about kodshi kudish minolai? Says Gemara, because it's a posik both by mincha and by achatas and by an oshem. It says the term kodesh kadoshim hu lashem. So I learned from that, if you will, a gzeira shavu one to the other. You're not allowed to eat kodesh kudishim when the mizbeach is nivgam. And then finally, kodeshim kalaminayin. How do I know? And this is the introduction to today's Gemara. Abaye says we learn it from a drasha of Reb Yoisi. And it's really not Reb Yoisi, it's Reb Yoisi quoting Reb Yishmael at the top of Samach Amid Beis. There were three Zakenim, but we'd never identified the other two, nor did we tell us what they say. So the Gemara has left that out, and leaving you for another day to discover who those other two Zakenim were. But for our purposes, we only need Reb Yishmael. And what did Reb Yishmael say? He said that you're not allowed to go and eat b'choir. In other words, a korban b'chor b'zman hazeh in Yerushalayim. Why can't you? So the Gemara said, because just like you cannot go and be zorek the dam nowadays, why can't you be zorek the dam? Because there's no mizbeach. So too, you can't go and eat from the korban. And the Gemara brought a hekish, it says in the pasuk, ves domam tizroik, ves chelbam taktir, ish erech nechoyach l'Hashem, uvesorem yielach, kechazeh atnufa, ukishoy kayomen, so the pasuk is talking about a korban of a b'chayr, and it tells you if there's no domam tizrek, if you can't spritz the blood on the mizbeach, there's no v'sarim yeloch, you cannot eat from the flesh of that korban. B'chayr, as we know, happens to be a korban kodshim kalim. So therefore, Abaye was quoting Reb Yoisi b'shem Reb Yishmael to go and tell you that if you have kodshim kalim in hand and the mizbeach unfortunately is nivgam, you cannot eat from that carpet. And Rashi goes and is mekatzer in the last two lines of Rashi, right before the wide lines here on Samach Amid Beis. Rashi says, "Lishmai tohodi abaye, the omer kochim kalim nifsolim pepkimas amizbeach umaisi lo medrasha to Rabbi Yosi." And it wasn't Rabbi Yosi; it's Rabbi Yosi b'shem Rabbi Yishmael. So back to our Gemara now, seven lines from the bottom. Kisolik Ravin. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Om Lishmaita Kamid Rabbi Yirmiya, he told this Shikol Torah in front of Rabbi Yirmiya. Omar, and he said, Vabloi Tibshoi, these silly Babylonians, Amtul Diyasu Ba'arach HaShoicha, because they go and sit in a dark land, Amri Shmaitza de Machashka, they go and say dark Shmaitzes. The Shmaitz again is what Rashi refers to as Abaya, that Abaya said, the Kochim Kalim, Nifsolim, Bekimas, Bekimas, HaMizbeach. Okay, now why was Rabbi Yirmiya so critical? Zokta Yimora, Loishmilu Hodesanya, because obviously Abaya did not know about the following two brises that we're going to bring. Brisa number one says, that Bishasilik Masois Kodshim Nifsolim, at the time that the Masois, meaning we're talking about now the 40 years that the Yidden were in the Midbar, and they were constantly traveling from place to place to place. So as the Mishkan is traveling together with all of the Kelim, and especially the Mizbeach, this Mizbeach obviously is Shlo Bimkomo, because it's traveling. What's the din? Kodshim Nifsolim, you cannot eat from any Kodshim. which of course is consistent with what we're saying, that if the Mizbeach is Nivgam, here it's not just that it's Nivgam, it's on the move, it's not even Bimakomo. You cannot eat from the Kodshim at that time. V'zoven u'metziroi mishtalchem chutz l'mechitza. Let's put that aside for a moment, because that's not key to the understanding of the steer. We're going to come back to it. V'tanya idach, and we have a second brisa, b'shnei mekomos kodeshim ne'echolim. In two places, you can go and eat the kodeshim. Now, what does that mean, in two places? The Gemara assumes what that means is, you can eat it when the Mishkan is standing in place, when Klal Yisrael is at rest for the period of a week or a month or 6 months. Mishkan is all in one place, okay? So then everything functions normally. So Vadi allowed to go and eat the Kodshim at that time when the Mizbeach is in its proper place. What's the second Mokim? The second Mokim is when they are traveling. They're moving from place to place. You go to Parshas Masai. You go and read all the different travels that they had from place to place. V'yisu v'yachnu, v'yisu v'yachnu, etc. Even then, although the Mizbeach is not the Mkomo, it's moving, Kodshim ne'cholim, you're allowed to go and eat the Kodshim. Now obviously there's a steer between the two brises. The first brise said, B'shah Selik Masoi, when the Mizbeach is moving, when the Mishkan is on the move, it was dismantled, and the Levium are carrying all the various, this one's carrying the Krushim, and this one's carrying the Menorah, and this one's carrying the Shulchan, etc. You're moving, Kodshim ne'cholim, you're now going to eat from the Kodshim. And then the second brisa said, both Mekoimis, both where the Mizbeach is Bimkomo, as well as when the Mizbeach is on the, not on the run, it's on the walk when they are traveling, you're allowed to eat Kodshim. It is a Chastira.
How do they do sacrifices when the Mizbeach is traveling? You have to stop.
Well, what you have to do is,
in the morning,
they blew the shofar, so people knew that We're going to move.
But every night they park, like if they're going to stay a few days? I mean,
they didn't know in advance how long it was going to be. But presumably, when people heard that we're going to leave in the morning or whenever the time that was met, so then they made sure that all karbonis that are, for instance, an oila you put on the Mizbeach, and all the karbonis that are eaten, leave enough time to be able to eat it before you're on the move. Because once you're on the move, then the kodshim would become possible. Yes, it certainly requires planning and administering and trying to organize yourself, but presumably they had a system where they knew, if we're going to be traveling an hour from now, don't bring any more kabanas, bring the next carbon when we come to the next station, the next place, the next stop. Okay, so anyway, so we seem to have a stira. First Bryce says, Silik Masois, then the kodshim are possible, you can't eat them. And the second one says, no, you can eat them. So what's going on?
Kodshim kalim you can eat, kodshim no.
Very good. So you're mechavin tigmoris teretz. My love, the first brice that says you're not allowed to eat them is kodshim. And the second brice is talking about kodshim kalim. Kum techoise, the second brice is telling us that you're allowed to go and eat kodshim kalim, even though the mizbeach is on the move. Because that's what we're talking about. Shnei Mekoimos. If you look at the Rashi, Shnei Mekoimos, five lines from the bottom. Shnei Mekoimos Necholim. Chad Bimkomon. Bimachnois. Hu Amurois Behem. Kisha Mishkan Bimkoimoi. When the Mishkan is standing, and you have the Chotzer, and you have the Shulchan, and you have the Menorah, and you have the Kodshim Kodshim, everything is standing properly, then of course you can eat the carbon. That's a Dovah Poshet. V'chad B'chol Mokim Sheheisham Derech Alichosim. They're traveling from place to place to place. Mishan also, you can continue eating from the kodshim, no problem. It's a kashan adon. It's a chastira mine obey.
Earlier, you couldn't eat in Yerushalayim when the Nivgam.
You're absolutely right, 100%. But Imor is not referring to the Master Shani, we're just referring to the kodshim now. You're right, even 100%. So now Lamasa, so we have the stira. This isn't the teretz. First price is Kodshim Kodeshim. Second one is Tumat Kodshim Kalim. And what we're saying is that you're allowed to go and eat the Kodshim Kalim, even though the Mishkan, not the Mishkan, even though the Mizbeach is Shloi Bim Koimai, they are traveling. I didn't Abaye say in the name of Yishmael that if the Mizbeach is just merely Nivgam, not that it's Shloi Bim Koimai, it's Bim Koimai, but it's just chipped. That's already possible. You can't eat from the Kabbalists. If the Mizbeach is on the move, It's certainly not b'mkoymai. It certainly should be possible. So isn't that a shtark akasha on abaya? And that's why Rabbi Yirmiyah kind of dismissed abaya's halacha by saying, come on, chavra, in bubble, don't you know about these two prices?
No, because they were not responsible to know prices, only mishnas.
There's no question about it. We're not.
So why was Rabbi Yirmiyah so critical?
I can't think why he was so critical, but what I can say is that Rabbi Yirmiyah realized that there's great Torah in Bavel, but nevertheless, he says they don't have that clarity that we have in Eretz Yisrael, because here in Eretz Yisrael, we're very well aware of the fact that they're two separate prices, and the prices are so set, and the only l'choyre easy answer is, first price is kachim kudishim, second is kachim kalim, and that price indicates that you're allowed to go and eat it, even if the mizbech, not only with snifkam, but timish levim koimai, so therefore Abaya, you know, you didn't do your homework. If you would have asked diligently among all the Talmidim, you would have come up with these prices, you would have known. Anyway, we're going to give it another teretz in a moment, but I promise to get back to the Zav Mitzrayim, Mishtal Chinchus L'Mechitza. What Rashi tells us about that is, and we're going to talk about this briefly on Samach Aleph Amid Beis, and that is, as we know, it says Vishalchem and Amachne Kol Tzura V'Chol Zav V'Chol Tomei L'Nofesh, that these three people all have a degree of tuma which requires them to be sent away from the Machne. Who are those three? First, we started the Tzura V'Chol Zav V'Chol Tomei L'Nofesh. Tzura means a Metzora. Zav, of course, is a Zav. And Tomei L'Nofesh means that someone, unfortunately, touched a mess, was in an oil hames, and requires the Hazor Shlishi Shvi from the Parah Adumah. Now, each one has a different level or degree of Tomei. The Metzora is Nishtaleh Chutz L'Sholish Machanes. He's sent away out of all the Machanes, meaning Machne Shechina, Machne Levia, as well as Machne Yisra. The Zav is Mishtaleh Chutz L'Shtei Machanes. He's allowed to stay within the Machne Yisra with his family and friends and Klal Yisrael. However, he cannot go into the Machne Leviah. Mashenki, when you talk about a person to Mimez, not only is he allowed to go into the Machne Leviah, he has to avoid going into the Machne Shechina. So Sol Kedai Techamin explains Rashi that all of that applies when you have a Machne. If everybody's on the move, there's no longer a Machne Yisrael, but the Machne Leviah, and Machne Shechina, it's all traveling. Kamashal in this price, and no, you're wrong. That, for instance, even though everybody's traveling, the Metzora, we tell him, mister, you got to sit in back of the bus, all the way in back, after all of Klal Yisrael. All of them have gone, including the Machane Don, who is the Ma'asif L'chol HaMachanois. Only after all the 12 Shvatim are on the move, then the Metzora move behind them. So he continues to be usher to enter into the Machane. And similarly, we tell the Zov, yes, you can continue Dreinzach among all of the Machane Yisrael, that's not a problem. But do not get close to the Levim who are carrying now the Kroshim and the Menorah and the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. No, no, stay away from them because you're still not allowed to approach the Machne Levim. So that's all the first Brice is teaching us. It really doesn't have any significance vis-a-vis these kashas. We're, however, going to discuss that again briefly on Samach Aleph Omid Beis. So bottom line is, where are we holding at this time? We have that Abaya said, B'shem Rabbi Yosef, B'shem Rabbi Shmuel, that even by Kachim Kalim, if there's just even the slightest begim on the Mizbeach, you cannot eat from the Kachim. And he more asked the Kasha from that second Brisa, and we said, Shinshkefet. We asked the Kasha, there's a steer between the two Brises. First Brisa is talking about Kachim Kudushim, second talking about Kachim Kalim, and I see from that second one that you are allowed to go and eat from the Kachim. Is the Chshver on Abaya? And for the Gemara, Omer Avinu, Idi v'idi b'kachim kalim. You don't have to say that one is talking about Kachim Kudushim, one is Kachim Kalim. Both are talking about Kachim Kalim. However, the first one said that you're not allowed to eat b'sila kamachnois. Once the Mishkan and Mizbeach is traveling, Kachim nifsalim, you're tunished. Second Brisa says you're allowed to. V'loi kashis in the Shver. Samachloikis, har bishmol, har rabbanan. The first Brisa says, you're not allowed to go and eat. Right. That is Abaya. That's Rabbi Shmuel that we had at the top of the Amud that says, not only you're not allowed to go eat from Kachim Kalim, you're not allowed to even eat from Masri Shaini. Well, of course, the Gemara is focusing on the Kachim Kalim. So therefore, the Gemara says, the first Brisa that says, Basilik hamachnois Kachim nifsalim, because that's even worse than Nivgam HaMizbeach. There is no Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is on the move. It's Shelo Bimkomo. You're not allowed to eat from the Kodshim. So that is Abaya. And that's Rabbi Shmuel. And that's Rabbi Yossi. Baruch Hashem. Aye, what about the second Braisa that says you're allowed to eat from the Kodshim Kalim when it's on the move? That's Rabbanon. The Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Shmuel. Who are these Rabbanon? The Gemara doesn't identify them. However, if you look, there's a short Tosis over here. There's, of course, a very long Tosis, but there's a short Tosis, Har Rabbi Shmuel v'Har Rabbanon. It's about 12 lines from the bottom of the Amud, go all the way to the bottom. Hainu tanoi de pligi alei de Rabbi Shmuel b'tmura. Oh, Miyat Hashem, we're soon going to get to Masechtas Tmura. You've been scratching your head the whole time. Who are these Rabbanon? We're going to get to the Rabbanon in Masechtas Tmura. They take the psukim that we were learning until now and they learn it a little bit differently. But bottom line is we have Rabbanan that disagree with Rabbi Shmuel. So it's not shver on Abaye anymore, because Abaye that said that the kodshim nifsalim is like that first braisa. The first braisa talking about kodshim kalim. Aye, what about the second braisa? The Rabbanan that argue with Rabbi Shmuel. Abaye says I'm on Rabbi Shmuel's side and Rabbi Yirmi is on the Rabbanan side. Both prices are talking about Kodeshim, not by Kodeshim Kalim. So already you don't have a problem, because Abaye is only talking about the Kodeshim Kalim. Oh my, so now the question is, I have a steer of the two prices. So the first price I understand. The first price says, B'sha Silik Masois, when the Mishkan is on the move, it's traveling, Kodeshim Nefsalim, you're not allowed to eat for the Kodeshim Kodeshim. But the second price says, B'shnei Mekoyim is Kodshim Necholim, you are allowed to go and eat. But you just said now, what are the Shnei Mekoyim? One when it's in its place and one when it's traveling. So the first price says you're not allowed. The second one, you are allowed. What's going on? Ever the Gemara umay B'shnei Mekoyim Koydim Shiamidu Leviim Es HaMishkan, as well as Uli Acher Shiyifriku HaLeviim Es HaMishkan. What does the Gemara mean to say? The Gemara means to say is, the first Mokoyim is the same as we were learning until now, when the Mishkan is in place, and the Mizbeach is in place, and everything is wonderful, then of course you can eat the Kodshim, that is no Chidush. The Chidush is on the Omid Bey, when we're saying, Ule'acha Shiyifku HaLeviim Es HaMishkan, the Leviim have dismantled the Mishkan by taking away the Kloim, as you know, that's the large enclosure of the Chotzer, 100 by 50, like we spoke about yesterday. They took away already the Kroshim, those are the tall beams. They have already moved the Menorah, and the Shulchan, and the Kiyar, and the Aron Kodesh. Everything is moving with one exception. The Mizbeach is still in place. Wow, Mizbeach is all alone. Maybe this holds on Kodesh, but the point is, the Mizbeach is still in its place, it hasn't moved yet. So, G'dayta Chamina, I would have thought, says Yomar Madu, Maudu Seima, if Saluhu B'yoytze, all the Kabbanis that were brought that have not been eaten yet, they should only possibly B'yoytze. Why the possibly B'yoytze? Because they're no longer within the four walls of the Chotzer, of the Kloim, of the Kroshim, they're just going around. So it should be no different than any other time when you have Karbonis, which are possibly B'yoytze, they're no longer on the grounds, so to speak, of the Azor, the Beis HaMikdash, or in this case, the Mishkan and the Chotzer, Kamash Malon, that's why I come to tell you, Nein, Sinishta Zoy. They did not come Posel B'yaitze. Ah, so therefore, what is the Gemara answering? What the Gemara is answering is, when we said in the first Braisa, B'siluk Masoyis Kodshim Nesolim, meaning, Kodshi Kudishim, that's talking about that everything is on the move, including the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is not standing in its Mokam, it's moving. Oh, in such a case, then Kodshim Nefsalim, you cannot eat the Kodshim. You can't eat the Kodshim if the Mizbeach is not there. Why is that so important that the Mizbeach be there? Because you remember what Rabbi Shmuel said. Rabbi Shmuel said you have to do a Mizbeach that you should be able to do a Zrika Saddam. If there's no Mizbeach for the Zrika Saddam, no Tishi, no Tiki, no Washi, no Zrika Saddam, no eating from the Kodshim. It's hot, holy bahat. You don't have a mizbeach to do a zrika. You don't have basar that you can go and eat. What did the second braisa say? That shnei mekoymish. Shnei mekoymish means that in both cases the mizbeach is still standing b'mkoymoy. It hasn't moved. The first case is talking about that they are in fact all settled there for the next day, week, month, whatever. The second one is, yes, the Levim have started dismantling the Mishkan, but they haven't moved the Mizbeach yet. It takes time to dismantle the Kloyim and the Amudim and the Kroshim, etc., etc. After 6 hours, 12 hours, whatever, of that very back-breaking work, now we have the Mizbeach all ready. The Levim now ask the Kahanim, Chevra, did you all finish your Chatas? Did you all finish your Ashem? You got another 5 minutes, Schnell, otherwise it's going to become noiser. We're about to move the Mizbech. As long as the Mizbech is in Koimai, you can still eat. So what's the Chiddush? I would have thought it should become possible be Yoytze, because there are no longer any walls around. So they're not eating in the Azara, they're not eating the Chatzah. You're just eating in the Midbar somewhere. Kamash Malon, no. That in fact it still retains its shame, chotzer and mizbeach and mishkan, even though everything else has been dismantled.
Imaginary space.
Imaginary space, because it had that space until 5 minutes ago.
One second.
The Eimahachinami Freitimara. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe in fact, once the mishkan has been dismantled, you've taken the kloim, you've taken the kroshim, even though the mizbeach is still there, maybe takish should become possibly yoytze. On makro, the pasuk says v'nosa oyal moyed. Where does it say Nasa Oil Moyed? You have here in the Torah Ora Shalom, Nasa Oil Moyed, Machne Halavim, Besoicha Machanois, Kasha Yachnu, Ken Yiso, Ish Al Yoda Le Digleim. What the Pasuk is telling us is that from time to time there will be the Masois, like we know in Parshas Masei, and Nasa Oil Moyed, the Oil Moyed is going to travel together with the Machne Halavim and the Machne Besoicha Machanois. In other words, everybody's going to move. The question is that what's bothering Gemara. What do you mean, Nasa Oil Moed? If the Oil Moed would be intact, I can understand. You're talking about a Heichel, you're talking about a Kodesh Kodashim, you're talking about a Chotzer, Mitan Azorim, Mitan Mizbeach. But it's all dismantled. There's no longer an Oil Moed. You only have 50 Levim carrying different pieces and portions of the Oil Moed. But you don't have an Oil Moed, says the Gemara. That's why the Torah uses the term Nasa Oil Moed, that Alpha Bisha Nasa. Even though the whole Oil Moed is on the move. Oil Moed, who? It still retains its status as Oil Moed. Until, of course, everything is out of place. As long as you have the Mizbeach in its place, Shinginuk, that's still called Oil Moed, and you can continue eating from the Karbanis. As a result, we no longer have a stira or a kasha between the two Brises. One Brice is talking about that it's been totally dismantled, and everything is on the move. No, no. Silik masois, nifsolim akrabonis. You can no longer eat the carbon. But as long as the Mizbeach is in place, says the second Braisa, if the Mizbeach hasn't moved yet, it still retains the Shem Oil Moed, and you can still eat from the karbanis. Yes?
That's one place when it's still post the, when the everything but the Mizbeach has moved. Mm-hmm. That's one of the two places. What's the other place that Rav Yirmiyah was referring to?
We said, first one is not Rav Yirmiyah, it's the Braisa.
The Tanya,
either for Shnei Mekoymus. Shnei Mekoymus means when everything is standing in place properly, nothing has moved.
I see, so everything is normal, set up fully, fine.
Right.
And then the second place is, even as long as the Mizbeach
is still in Koymus.
Okay, that's the second one.
Okay, so that's what Rashi explains in Alamed Aleph. It's a lengthy Rashi because he goes through different Kirsois. But anyway, bottom line is, we have now for the Kasha. According to this teretz, it's not shver at all on Abaye, because neither Bryce is even talking about Kochim Kal, we're talking about Kochi Kudushim. And even by Kochi Kudushim, as long as the Mizbeach is b'mkoymoy, it's not considered to be Nifkam, it's there, of course you can go and eat from your Kochim. It's not shver anymore on Abaye. Abaye said b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, that the Mizbeach is Nifkam, you can't eat from the Kabbonis. We agree with that. And Nifkam includes when the Mishkan and the Mizbeach are on the move. Don't eat. You're not allowed to. Silik Masois, Kochim Nifsalim. That the Rabbi Yirmiyah said that the second Braisa says you are allowed to eat. That's talking about when the Mizbeach is still Bimkomo. Either because the whole Mishkan is Bimkomo, or because at least the Mizbeach is still Bimkomo, because the Levim have not dismantled or moved it on yet. Just getting back for 1 second back to the Zav Mitzirayim. Why did we say that the Zav Mitzirayim, they're still Nishtaleach Chutz, says Rashi, because we just said the Nasa Oil Moed, that as long as the Mishkan, as long as the Mizbeach is standing in its place, we still have an Oil Moed. So therefore, the Zav Mitzrayim, Aros, get out. But even goes beyond that, even when they pick the Mizbeach up, it's still the Nosa, the whole Oyel Moed, as one entity. You're right, it's in 50 pieces, but it's one entity, still retains that Kedusha Soil Moed, and therefore Zav Mitzrayim are not allowed to Drayin Zach, they're not allowed to walk around in the Machna. According to the Tzeruah, the Mitzrayim has to be Nishtaleh Chutz, the Alisholish Machnas, and the Zav at least has to stay within Machane Yisrael and not get close to the Levium. What's the Machane Levium at this point? All the Levium as one are all traveling, carrying the various parts of the Mishkan. Don't get close there, because that's called the Machane Levium at this time. Okay, so we start now a new shtickle. It's related, but you'll see it's in a sense brand new. Amravuna Amrav Mizbeach Shel Shiloi Shel Avonim Hoya. The Mizbeach that was of Shiloi. Now you remember, we started off with the Mishkan that was in the Midbar, and then after that, Yeshua ben Nun took Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and eventually they built a Mishkan Shiloi in the place called Shiloi, and that Mishkan stood for 369 years, really, 369 years. And then there was a short period of time where they didn't have the Mishkan any longer in Shiloi, but they did have a Mishkan in Noiv and Givoin, and then after that, when all of that ended, eventually Shlomo Melech went and built the first base of Migdish, and so on and so forth. So now, the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built at the time of the Torah was called Mizbeach HaNechoshes. What Rav Huna Omer Rav is telling us is that there were additional Mizbeachos, one in Shiloi, subsequently in Noiv Givoin, and eventually, finally, in the base of Migdish. And all of those were built not out of nechoshes, but they were built out of avonim, out of stone. Okay, zok di gemara, om ravuna marab mizbeach shel shiloi shel avonim hoya. How do I know? Deciding with under the price. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov oimer ma tamal oimer avonim 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 sholosh pa'amim. Now, where does it say avonim avonim sholosh pa'amim? We have all three psukim. Notice it says 2, 3, 4 beis gimel dalet. If you go to the Torah or Hasholim. Number two, the Mizbech Avonim Tasali, Mizbech Avonim. Number three, Uvenis Hashem Mizbech Lashem Elikecha, Mizbech Avonim. That's Pasik 2. Next Pasik, Avonim Shleimois Tivne as Mizbech Hashem Elikecha. Oh, you make the Mizbech out of Avonim Shleimois. Three separate psukim to tell us the same thing, that the Mizbech has to be built out of Avonim. What do you need three psukim for? Zoktimar Echad Shel Shiloi, that when the Mizbeach was centered in Shiloi, in the Mishkan Shiloi, 369 years, a brand new Mizbeach, not Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, Mizbeach of stone in Shiloi. Then eventually they moved on to Noiv Givoin. Rashi explains that we refer to Noiv Givoin as one, because both of them had the status like a Boma Gidoyla, and they didn't have the status as a full-fledged Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash, so we don't say Noiv and Givoin, we say Noiv Givoin together as one. And then finally, Beis Olam, and Beis Olam means that is the
cemetery.
That's a Beis Olam. A Beis Olam is referring to the Beis HaMikdash, and the first Beis HaMikdash stood for 410 years. So during that time, they had a brand new Mizbeach made out of Avonim. Okay, so far so good. Most of Rabbah Barami, I have a kasha from the following Bryce. The following Bryce suggests that there were no separate Mizbechos from the times of Moshe until the time of Shloime HaMelech. Eish Shiorda Min HaShemayim Bimei Moshe. Every single day there was a fire coming down from heaven onto the Mizbeach to go and assist in consuming all of the Kabbalas. There is a mitzvah for the Kahanim to go and bring their own Eish to the Mizbeach. Yes, it's a mitzvah, 100%. However, in addition to that, there was an Eish that came down in the Shemayim, and as a combination of the two, all of the Aymarin every single day and the Oilois were all consumed by the fire on top of the Maruch. Okay, so Eish Yardim and Ishmael Bimei Moshe, Loi Nistalka, Mi'al Mizbeach HaNechoshes, Ela Bimei Shloima. You know how long that Eish kept on coming down, even after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, and even after Yeshua ben Nun went into Eretz Yisrael and he passed away, and all of the Shoftim passed away, and even after Shaul HaMelech, and even after David HaMelech, until Yimei Shloima, the Eish was still coming down on that Mizbeach of Moshe.
So
So what do I see from that? L'chayr, there's still only one mizbeach. There's no new mizbeach of Avonim in Shilai. There's no new mizbeach of Avonim in Noi V'Givayim. Only finally in the Beis Eilamim, when we came to the times of Shlomo HaMelech, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the Kasher Aboisai. It doesn't sound right.
Eish could be, it's not tangible. So you could take, like, on Motzi Yom Kippur, you take from the Eish.
Yeah.
You know, she...
You're talking about Eish Shabbos over Shabbos, over
right.
Yom Kippur.
So you took from here, you took from, it's as long as Eish Shabbos, so you took from this Eish and you put it on there. And
okay, so as far as I'm concerned and you're concerned, that's great. Every single day that the Kohanim did work in the Beis Hamikdash, they had to go and bring their own fire. I don't know if they took with one of these pocket
sliders,
or they brought stones and they went and they did one against the other, or whatever they did. But lamais, every single day, they brought their own new fire to the Mizbeach. However, at the same time, they looked up to the heavens and boom, a fire came down from heavens all the way to the Mizbeach, miraculously, every single day.
I'm sorry, what's the steer again? So we have the Mizbechos of the various periods. And
yes.
And now we're saying, what's the steer?
Okay, so what does it say? What does it say in the second rites of Ravacha Barami?
The Eish, I came down from the Moshe and it didn't leave the Mizbeach.
Which Mizbeach?
A Mizbeach and Nechoshes.
Who had a Mizbeach and Nechoshes?
Moshe.
Okay, was there a Mizbeach and Nechoshes in the times of Shiloh?
No.
Was there a Mizbeach of Noi Degim? Was there a Mizbeach and Nechoshes?
No.
So what does it mean? That from the times of Moshe, the fire kept on going down in Mizbeach and Nechoshes. For 369 years, there was a different Mizbeach in Shiloh. So presumably there was no Eish Yorda Bimei Moshe Loi Nistalka, still going. It was no longer functioning.
It means it came down, or it was Loi Nistalka. I thought
Eish Yardim and Shemayim came all the way down from Shemayim every day, and it stayed there constantly until Shlomo HaMelech. At the time of Shlomo HaMelech, that Eish was extinguished, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm no longer sending it down to Moshe, I'm now transferring it to Shlomo HaMelech's Mizbeach. So far, so good.
I didn't read it that way.
Okay,
I
and now,
read,
now is that the
way? Let me clarify.
You could be right that there wasn't a separate Eish coming down every single day. Maybe that Eish just stayed there and stayed there and stayed there forever until Shlomo HaMelech. But what's the reason why it's there? It's not so that the tourists should go and take pictures. Oh, look, we got an Eish that, whether it's by Kennedy, they have an eternal fire.
Eternal flame.
That's not what we're talking about over here. What we're talking about is that Eish Yodim and Shemaim consumed karbonis. And it continued its consumption of the karbonis every single day from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu until the times of Shlomo HaMelech on that Mizbeach HaNechoshes. What are you talking about on that Mizbeach HaNechoshes? Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach is obsolete. It was replaced three times by the time we got to Shlomo HaMelech. We had one new one in Shiloh. We had a new one in Noi V'Givayim. We have a new one in Shlomo HaMelech. So what's that fire doing there? It's just sitting there nicely and smiling to everybody. There's no... So according to the Brice of Rav Acha Bar Ami, the fire continued consuming their kabbonis in Shiloh, in Noi V'Givayim, in the Beis Mikdash, until Shlomo HaMelech replaced the Mizbeach of Nechoshes of Moshe Rabbeinu with a brand new one of the Mizbeach Avon. So it certainly sounds like there were no intervening Mizbeachos between Moshe and between Shlomo HaMelech. And in fact, continues the same brisa. The Eish Yordim Yivmei Shlomo, that fire that came down during Shlomo HaMelech's time, also in Estalka, also remained intact, working day and night. Achubo Menashe Vesoka, until Menashe came and unfortunately destroyed the Mizbeach, so there was no receptacle to go and receive the effects of fire, so the fire stopped at that time. We all know Menashe was not a good guy,
wicked.
A wicked king, and we had the end of Masechta Sanhedrin, and let's not go and say Menashe, a new bad guy, because Menashe will
come and
tell you. Exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly. Zokti Yomara, V'im Isa, if you hold like Rav was saying, Meikarahu distalikle, then the fire should have left Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach a long, long time ago to help in the consumption of the Kabonis in Shiloh. If, in fact, the second price is correct, that the fire remained on Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach and Nechoshes and did not help out at all in Noi V'Givayim and in Shiloh. So what was the purpose of the fire? Just to be there to go and smile? I mean, the purpose was to go and consume the Kabonis. Gesundheit. So, the, I'm sorry, everything okay, Ariel? Yeah?
Bless you.
Oh, huge blessing. You're a great guy. We all agree to your blessing. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So, l'chud ha-beshtar kakasha on Rav Huna Omer Rav, that said that already a few years later, the Mizbeach of Shiloh was no longer Moshe Rabbeinu's, but that was Shalavonim. And v'di marhudi Omer ki Reb Nosson, Rav Huna Omer Rav, holds like Reb Nosson, who disagrees with that brisa that we just brought from Rav Acha Bar Ami. Who is this other brisa? The Sanya. Reb Nosson Oimer, Mizbeach Shel Shiloi Shel Nechoshes Hoya, Cholul or Nechoshes, Hoya Cholul Umole Avonim. It was made out of Nechoshes from the outside, however, it was hollow, Cholul Umole Avonim, when they filled it up with stones. So what does all of that mean? What he means to say is that, in fact, there's a machloikis. What happened post Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan? Did they use the old Mizbeach, or didn't they use the old Mizbeach? According to Rav Acha Bar Ami, they continued using Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach until hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, till the time of Shlomo Melech. So they use it in Shiloh, and they use it in Noi V'Givoy, and they use it all the time. Aha. Oy Bazoi, why does the Braisa say that... why did Rav Huna Amar Rav say that the Mizbeach Shel Shiloh and Shel Noi V'Givoyin was a different Mizbeach? Oh, because Rav Huna Amar Rav is going like Reb Nosson. The Reb Nosson says that the Mizbeach Shel Shiloh was Shel Nechoshes Hoya, and it was Moli Avonim. Oh, so there was Taka, a new Mizbeach at the time of Shiloh. It was Moli Avonim. That's why it's called the Mizbeach Avonim. And in Noi V'Givoyin they had a further new Mizbeach of Avonim. And Shlomo Melech, they had another Mizbeach of Avonim. And therefore...
It was copper from Moshe Rabbeinu.
It was a copy.
It was just filled up with Avonim.
Okay, that's fine. But the point of the Gemara is that this Reb Nosson holds like Reb Huna Merav. It's Reb Huna Merav holds like Reb Nosson. Yes. And both of them hold like Reb Lezer and Yaakov. That in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach became obsolete. It was replaced by three mizbechos subsequently. One in Shiloh, one in Noi V'Givoyin, and one in Beis Elam.
No mizbechos.
What did they do with Moshe Rabbeinu's mizbech? They probably put it into a room, and they put beautiful plexiglass over it, and then there was an inscription in Hebrew, and in Arabic, and in English, saying on the bottom, this was a mizbech that was used by Moshe Rabbeinu for hundreds of years, and not hundreds of years, but at least 38 years, in the Midbar, etc., etc. So that was put away in a showcase, and everybody, all the tourists took pictures, etc., etc. But it was replaced, it was no longer used. Ah, so in fact, that's a machloikis. And Rashi points out that the Gemara didn't need to say that Rav Huna Amar Rav holds like Reb Nosson, that they made a new Mizbeach in Shiloh with Avonim. He could have just relied on the first price of Lezer ben Yaakov, that Rav Lezer ben Yaakov said that we had a new Mizbeach in Shiloh, and in Noi V'Givoyin, and Beis Elam. Why do we have to go and bring a brand new brisa? Who the Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav holds like Reb Nosson? He brought a brisa at the outset that, in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach was replaced three times until the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi says, because Reb Lezer ben Yaakov is only telling us this based on Psukim. He's not telling us a Maser Rav, Halacha L'maisa. Masha Enkin, Reb Nosson is saying, no. I can describe for you in detail. The Mizbeach of Shiloh was made in Nechoshes, and it was hollow, and they filled it up with Avonim. They taka did it. So therefore, the Gemara considers that to be a stronger proof to Rav Huna Amar Rav than the original Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. But Avad, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, and Reb Nosson both hold the same.
Isn't he saying that when Shlomo built the Beit Mikdash, initially he used the Mizbeach Nechoshes Shal Moshe Rabbeinu?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, they didn't really put it in the...
That would be consistent with the Braisa of Rav Acha Bar Ami. Bottom line is, Rabbi, so we have a historical machlokes. What happens after Yeshua ben Nun came into Eretz Yisrael with the Mishkan? Did they continue using the same Mizbeach, or did they switch? Until the time of Shiloh, they apparently used Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. There was also, I believe, a Heter Abomis at that time. Since if there's no Mishkan, then Heter Abomis. However, when they finally came to Shiloh, did they continue using that Mizbeach, or did they not? So what you just said now, Brother Shai, that they continue using it until Shlomo Melech replaced it, you're 100% right. That's just like Rav Acha Bar Ami said, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach continued to function. It had the heavenly fire on it, and Lo Nistalka did not leave. until Yemei Shloima, 100%. However, according to Rav Huna Barab, and Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, and Rav Nassim, in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach became obsolete already in the times of Shiloh, yeah. And they replaced it with a brand new Mizbeach, Shel Avon.
It was the same size or bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu's? Doesn't say.
Our Gemara doesn't say. Maybe other sources discuss that. We know for sure the Mizbeach of Shloima Melech was much, much bigger. However, yes. In terms of the other two, it doesn't say. So, Zukti Gemara Yetz Weiter, Om Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Rav Nachman Yitzchok Omar, Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, I have another teretz. My loy nestalka levatala. Meaning, Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, you do not have to make a machloikis. You can go and say that Rav Huna Omer Rav, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, Rav Nosson, and the Brice of Rav Acha Bar Ami all hold the same thing. And what is that? That although it says Lenestalka means Lenestalka Levatola. Levatola, Rashi says, means like Lenestalka Legamri. What does that mean? It means in the times of Shloima Melech, then the fire from Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach went and left Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach permanently. They made a Gansa announcement. Rabbeisai, today is the final day of the fire on Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. And the next day, the fire magically, Rabbeinu Shloim transferred it from Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach till Shloim HaMelech's Mizbeach. In the interim, as we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach was not put into Geniza, into storage, or into a showcase for all the tourists to go and take pictures, but rather accompanied and was a twin, if you will, to the other Mizbeach. Which other Mizbeach? The Mizbeach of Avonim in Shiloh, then the Mizbeach of Avonim in Noive Givoyim, and eventually when the Mizbeach was recreated in the times of Shlomo Melech in the Beis Hamikdash. So until that time, Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach was also taken and it accompanied the second Mizbeach. So if you went
in, it wasn't used.
You'll hear in a moment. So these two Mizbeaches were now together in whatever structure, whether it was an Azara, whether it was in a Chotzer, the two Mizbeachos were side to side. Now the question is, okay, so you're telling me they were side to side, we're using the new Mizbeach for bringing Korbanos, and presumably Zrikas Adam, and the old Mizbeach is the one, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that gets the fire. What's the purpose of this, asked Mr. Friedlander. Who needs the two Mizbeachos? You know, if Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach is not being used.
Not what only do you that, it's also the Baltoisev.
Okay. So what's the din? What does that mean? So Rav Nachman Yitzchok said it was Loi Nestalka Legamri. It wasn't totally obsolete. It was only 50% obsolete. So what does that mean? Mai. Zotimar, Maihi. And for the Gemara, Tutarutzim. Tell someone, Rabbanon Amri, Shviva Hava Mishadra. The Eishman HaShemayim came down on Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. However, the Karbonis they brought on the new Mizbeach, the Mizbeach Shalavonim. In addition to the Kehanim's generated Eish that they put on the new Mizbeach, there were Shviva. Shviva means sparks of fire would jump from Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach onto the new Mizbeach to assist in the consumption of the Karbonis. Really? Shviva Mishadra, that's what it means. Yeah, look at the Rashi. Rashi is about five lines higher. Shviva Hava Mishadra. Shoyi Maktirin Al Shel Avonim. When they would be Maktir, the Aymarin, or the Evarim Pedorim on the Avonim, on the stone Mizbeach. Ho Yuzikin. Zikin are sparks for the Hoves and flames. Yoitzis Me'esh Shemaim Shel Mizbeach Anachoshe Shel Moshe. Sh'afhu. Munachsham, because both Mizbeaches were together in the same room, in the same corridor. I don't know, it was 3 amas, 5 amas, 10 amas away, but they were next to each other. And while the Kanim are doing all the work on the new Mizbeach, Mizbeach Shalavonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did his work, Kaviyochel, and threw fires and flames and sparks from Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach over to the next one. So that's what the Gemara means when it says, Nestalka Legamri. And when it came Shlomo Melech's time, then in fact the entire Eish moved in its entirety to Shlomo Melech's Mizbeach. But until that time, the physical, I don't know if you can call fire physical, it's not tangible, but the fire was on the Mizbeach of Moshe, and it every single day it assisted in the consumption of the Karbonis on the second Mizbeach by shooting all different types of sparks and flames. So that's the first teretz. Rav Papa Amar, I have another teretz. Ushpiza have a knockout. V'zimnen hacha, that from the time of Shiloh until the times of Shlomo HaMelech, you had two mizbechos, like we just said, and they were both, if you will, ushpiza, meaning they were both inns that let in guests. And sometimes the guest fire went to Moshe Rabbeinu's mizbeach, and sometimes it went on the other mizbeach. I don't know whether it was a difference between Monday and Thursday and Tuesday and Wednesday, different schedules. Doesn't say, it just says that sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu caused the fire to go down on Moshe Rabbeinu's, and sometimes it went on to the other one. And I assume what the Gemara is also suggesting is that they continued using both mizbeachos for kabbanis. And if the mizbeach that day had Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshe Rabbeinu's mizbeach had the fire, they brought the kabbanis on that mizbeach. And if it was the second one where the fire was, then they brought the kabbanis on that mizbeach. So you didn't need that the fire should go and jump from one place to the other. Now this sensation of either the jumping fires or the using both of these on a rotation basis, this was all from the times of Moshe until the times of Shlomo HaMelech. When it came Shlomo HaMelech, Nistalka legamre, no more going back and forth, rotation, and different sparks and flames. Now everything moved permanently to the Shlomo HaMelech's Mizbech. So with this, we have now taken the two brises, and we have reconciled them. You don't have to say there's a machloikis. Both of them are correct. That Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbech continued to function, at least 50%, if you will, until the times of Shlomo HaMelech. But in the interim, they had other mizbechos. They had mizbech avonim both in Shiloh and in Ovid Givayim, and then they worked either 50% at a time, or they worked 100% at a time, depending on which teretz. And the fire of Moshe Rabbeinu would go over to assist in consuming the kabbas. And with this, we finish that shikl. Tanan Hasam says the Gemara. We have a Mishnah Masechtas Midos. We've spoken about in the past that the base of the big Mizbeach in the times of Shlomo HaMelech was 32 by 32, and then when you came up to the Asoid, then it became 30 by 30, it came to the all the way to the top, it was down to 28 by 28. Now this was a later phenomenon. Initially, at the times of Shlomo HaMelech, they made it smaller. Really? How small was it? It was 28 by 28 on the floor. And then when you got all the way to the top, it was down to 20 by 20. We'll explain in a moment. Dan Hasam, Shteitot in the Mishnah, Kishe'olu B'nei HaGoyla, when the B'nei HaGoyla means the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they came up to the second base of English, Hoisifu Olav Dalet Amos Min HaAdorim V'Dalet Amos Min HaMarev K'min Gamma. They expanded the Oirich and the Roichiv of them. They left the height the same, but the width and the length, they increased from what was previously 28 all the way in the bottom, and they added another 4 to make it 32 on the bottom, 32 by 32. How did they add it? Kimin Gamma. Rashi says Gamma is the third letter in the Greek alphabet, Alpha Beta Gamma. What does the Gamma look like? Rashi says Kimin Kof Pshuta Shalono, which we usually refer to as an L. And therefore, they added the additional 2 Amis, 4 Amis, both on the Dorim side, on the southern side, as well as on the western side of the Mizbeach.
It remained a square.
It remained a square, correct. But it wasn't a square any longer of 28 by 28, and now it's 32 by 32. Frankly, my timer, why was this necessary? Why weren't they satisfied with 28 by 28? Omer of Yosef, Mishab Deloy Sipek, because it wasn't big enough to go and handle all the karbonos that needed to be brought.
That's very strange.
Amalei Abaya. Abaya agrees to Brother Shai. Hash the Mikdash Rish.
140,000 karbanos they were able to fit on
it. But that was one day.
Right.
And now we're going to talk about the entire lifetime, so to speak, of both of the two Batei Mikdash. So Abaya says, Hash the Mikdash Rish. It says in the Pasuk, Yehuda v'Yisrael, Rabim kechoyl asher al hayom, that the number of Yidden that were in Eretz Yisrael at that time, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, first Beis HaMikdash, were so many, were kachoil, were like the sand on the Sfas HaYam. Well, that's a lot. Try to see if you can go and count how many specks of sand you have next to the sea. Impossible. That's how many Yidden there were in Eretz Yisrael. Wow. You're telling me, Sipek, the Mizbeach of Shlomo HaMelech was sufficient, 28 by 28. Mikdasheni dechsiv bei, that when the time that Ezra Nehemiah went up to Eretz Yisrael, what does it say in the Pasuk? It's a Pasuk in Ezra. Kol hakol ki echad. The entire group of all the refugees that were previously in refuge in Babel, now returning to Eretz Yisrael, was all of Arba Riboy, 40,000. Well, you know, 40,000 is enough to make two or three minyanim. That's no problem. But it's certainly not the same as Kechol Hayam. So he bazai, loisipik, for them it wasn't sufficient. Does that make sense? Amalei, so he answered him, yes, it makes sense. I'll tell you why. Because Hasem Eishel Shemai Meseyatan. Hacha Ein Eishel Shemai Meseyatan. What does the Gemara mean to say? You all remember from the Gemara Mesech this Yuma, that the Gemara darshins from Apasik, that there were five things that were missing in the Mikdash Sheni as opposed to the Mikdash Rishon. What were those five things? Let's see if we can remember them. One was the Oroin. There was no Oroin in the second base of Mikdash. So when the Kohen Gadol went on Yom Kippur into the Kodesh Kadoshim and he did the Zrikas Adam, Hazoyas Adam, as well as the Akhtoiris, he didn't do a Ben Habadim between the poles of the Oren. There was no Oren there. Rather, he did it in front of what they call today the Evan Shasia, which is, you know, you see pictures of it, etc., from where the world was created, from the Evan Shasia, and that's where he did Hazoyas in that direction, because there was no Oren. In number two, it says that there was no Shechina. Shechina was not Shoyra in the second base of Midrash. Yeah, so you should take any more in Yuma. Yeah, that's actually number five on the list, but thank you. Yes, thank you for reminding me. Urim Betumim was not there, and the Rashi, the Tosis says, Avada, there was Urim Betumim inside the Choshen of the Kohen Gadol, because if it wouldn't, he would be Mechusser Begadim. Mechusser Begadim can't be possible to do the Avodah. So it was there, but unfortunately it didn't function. It was like
the batteries weren't there.
The batteries weren't there, exactly. The Havdol, it didn't work. So that was another thing that didn't happen. They also did not get the Eish Min HaShemayim, did not come down every single day. And it says also there was no longer any Ruach HaKodesh, that Nevi'im stopped saying Nevi'is in the times of the second base of Midrash. Anyway, so there was no Eish. And then the Gemara says, however, based on a pasuk, that there was Eish on the Mizbeach after all. And you just said that there was no Eish. Says the Gemara, yes, there was a physical fire that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept on sending from up above to down below. But unfortunately, it didn't work. In other words, it looked like a fire, and it smelled like a fire, and you could take pictures of it, but Lamaisa, it didn't consume the karbonis. It was not functioning as a fire. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Hasam, in the time of the first base of Midrash, Eishu Shemai Meseyasan. They could have a smaller Mizbeach, because no matter how many karbonis, a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Eish was so intense that it consumed all the kabanas.
Express.
Very good. In our case of the second base midish, an Eish HaShemayimus, even though there was an Eish, but it didn't help him out, so I needed to bring more Eitzim to the Marocha and expand the Marocha to go and take care of all the kabanas, and that's why I needed a larger Mizbeach. Since I had now the larger Mizbeach, the original Mizbeach, however, was only 28 by 28. By the time you got to the top, it was only 24 by 24. But then you had to go and remove from them the Kronois, as well as the Mokim Hilich Ragle Kahanim. And that's why we said yesterday and the day before that it was only a Maruch of 20 by 20, and that was 400. And remember, we said Moshe Rabbeinu's was 6 by 6 is 36, so it was 11 times as much. We made the Cheshbon is 396, as you all recall. So that was all based on the original dimensions of the Mizbeach, which was 28 by 28. But later on, Ezra Nechemi, they made it 32 by 32. Okay, so that's the first reason why they expanded. But there's another reason. Ki also Rabbi Amar Reb Shimon Pazi Mishum Bar Kapara Shitin Hoisifu Meikare Sover Mizbeach Adama Shu Otem Ba Adama Flipsoif Sover Shesia Kaachila. What does all of that mean? That means is that, as you know, we have what's called the Nisach Hayayin every single day when Oilois and Shlomim were brought. The Kohen had to also go and pour Nisach Hayayin, libations of wine, and during the festival of Sukkot, they also had Nisach Hamayim. Now, where did they pour all of that Nisach Hayayin v'Hamayim? So, our Gemara doesn't go into it in detail, but in Mesechtes Midos, Mesechtes Tomid, it says that they would go initially, they would go and pour it out next to the Kir HaMizbech. This is not a Zrika. he just poured it, and he poured it on the southwestern side of the Mizbeach. It went onto the Kir HaMizbeach, and then it flowed down onto the Yesoid HaMizbeach, and then onto the floor, and where the floor was, right next to that point, there was a bor of sorts, some sort of crevice, some sort of cut out into the floor of the Ritzpah. The wine and the water would spill into there, and then would go further down into underground shitin that were underneath the Mizbech. Shitin are like pipes. As how far down did they go is already a machloikis in Masechta Sukkah and other places. Some say that it went all the way down to the core of the ground, and these shitin were already created at the times of the Sheshes Mebreshes. And some say no, that in fact the wine would accumulate under the Mizbeach, and once every 60 years or so, it says that the Pirchei Kahuna would go in, and they would go and carve out all the wine that had congealed over the years. It's a machlekes. But the point is that initially, the wine did not get poured on the top of the Mizbeach, or even if it did, what happened was it went down, it trickled down on the Kir, it trickled down to the Yesoid, into that bar down below, and then eventually from that bar into the subterranean Shittim. That's what happened initially. Now what happens is, now that we're expanding the Mizbeach is now covering over where that original bar was. Instead of going and digging out a new bar, they came up with what we call in Ivrit, a new patent. What was that patent? That they made holes on the top of the Mizbeach, so that now when the Kohen is pouring out the Yayin or the Mayim, it went into those holes. And what happens, it went into those holes? It went straight from there down to the Shittin, down below. So it didn't have to go overflow over the top, it didn't have to go on the Kir, it didn't have to go on the Yesoid, it didn't have to go on the Bor on the floor, it just went straight from the Shittin. The Shittin now are the holes on the top of the Mizbeach.
In the Kronos?
I don't know, in the Kronos, right next to the Kronos, it went straight.
No, just on the southwest corner.
Southwest corner, correct. What they were doing in the corner itself, right next to it. I don't remember. We'll let him hopefully get to it. Yes. Maybe in Midois or in Tomid, maybe we'll discuss this in greater detail. Anyway, so that says the Gemara. What's the reason why Ezra and Nechemiah added that? Because Shitonaisi, for they added those holes at the top of the Mizbeach to allow for the Nesachim to go down those holes. Why didn't they have those holes initially? Since it says Mizbeach Adama Tasali, where is this Pasig? It's Shmois, but other Gemaras. Yeah, that's what Mizbeach Avonim. There's a Mizbeach Adama Tasali, Mizbeach Olav, Mizbeach Veshlamecha, etc., etc. He doesn't bring it outside on this. Anyway, so the point is, they learn Mizbeach Adama means Otam Adama. Otam Adama means it has to be one solid block of Adama with no holes, nothing in it whatsoever. And therefore, that's why they couldn't make holes on the top and have the wine flow down in the middle of the Mizbeach down to down below, because there was not allowed to be any hollow. Rashi says, Otem Badom Shlei Hei Chol, no hollows in the Mizbeach. One chunk. Ah, however, later on they held Shtia Kachila. What's Shtia Kachila? Just like the Mizbeach does a good job in consuming all of the Emurim and all of the carbon oil, the Mizbeach itself has to consume the drink. How does it consume the drink? Because the drink goes into the Mizbeach and you never see it again. It goes into that bottomless pit, if you will, all the way down. Ah, so that's how they learned the new Ezra Nechemiah, the times of the second base of English. I, my Mizbeach Adama, so what do they do with the fact that it says Mizbeach Adama Tasali? Shumachuber Ba'adama, Shle Yivnen, Eloy Agabe, keep him, Veloy Al Gabe Mechidas. We had that come already a day ago, 2 days ago, that you cannot go and carve under the Mizbeach, or put the Mizbeach on top of either a canopy or over a tunnel. In other words, it's got to be solid terra firma underneath the Mizbeach, and that's where you build the Mizbeach. Aha. Okay, so that was yet a second reason for the expansion, because they learned that Mizbeach Adama doesn't mean that it has to be without a hollow. You're allowed to have a hollow, and rather we prefer the Shtia could be Ka'achila.
We said earlier that it was hollow and filled with Avonim, and now...
And which one was that?
We're talking about the
Mizbeach Shel Shilai.
Right.
Now we're talking about the Beis Hamikdash of Shlomo Melech and subsequently of the Ezra and Nechemiah. Zokim Arbayit to Omer of Yosef. Now Rav Yosef was the one that said down on the bottom the reason because of the expansion Lo Sipek. Remember, the Gemara asked my time about 10 lines at the bottom. Omer Yosef Mishum Lo Sipek. There wasn't enough room on the old Mizbeach. Why I? There were so many more people. So the Gemara said because the Eish Min HaShemayim was no longer functioning to go and consume the Karbanos. Amar Rav Yosef, no, I changed my mind. Why did Rav Yosef change his mind? Says Rashi, as we've learned many times throughout Chas, Rav Yosef Chola, Besof Yomav, as he got older, unfortunately, he became sickly. And he forgot a lot of his learning. Subsequently, he remembered, I remember in my younger year, in my years in the Yankas, I used to say ABC, and not like I said yesterday, so therefore I changed my mind. We go back to the original years of the Yankas I said years ago. And so therefore, says Yimon Rav Yosef, the reason I gave before is wrong. I'll tell you why Ezra Nehemiah went and expanded the Mizbech. Lav Haida Desani, isn't that like learned in the Braisa? We have a Pasuk. Where is this Pasuk? Pasuk is in Ezra, and it says, V'yachinu ha-Mizbech al-Michoy Nosoi, that they went and prepared and established Mizbech on its foundations, B'choy Noisov. What does that mean, that they established Mizbech on its foundations, on its Mokoyim? She'agil l'soiv midoisov, that they figured out what the real Midah should be in terms of the dimensions of the Mizbech. Freit Dimar, so what you're telling me is that Shlomo Melech did not know what the proper Midos were, and that's why he made it 28 by 28. And Baruch Hashem, V'yokim Melech Chodesh al Mitzrayim, L'havdil, that Ezra and Nehemiah coming and say, we know the real Nevuah that was given by Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that is that it should be 32 by 32. He gil Esayf Midos. How can you say something like that? That David HaMelech tells Shlomo HaMelech all of these dimensions, all of these rules and regulations are all based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me. How could Shlomo HaMelech mess up? And Ezra Nehemiah are saying, we know what the true Midos are. Elam Rav Yosef, I changed slightly what Rav Yosef said before. He found a new pasuk. What is in the pasuk? V'yomid David, Zehu beis Hashem olikim, v'zeh mizbeach li'oilu li'Yisrael, ki bayis. Now, ki bayis is already part of the drasha. That what? This is what David HaMelech said. This is the beis Hashem. This is the beis HaMikdash, and this is the mizbeach. Now, the Gemara darshins, that is Ezra Nehemiah now darshining, ki bayis. Actually, I say Ezra Nehemiah, I think Rashi says Anshines Ragdoiva on the fourth line. Maybe Ezra Nehemiah were part of that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, what does the Gemara say? That by the fact that it says in the Pasuk, this is the Beis Hashem and this is Mizbeach, we make a Hekish. Ki bayis. Ma bayis shishim amma, just like the length of the bayis was 60 amois. What do you mean it was 60 amos? Yeah, says Rashi, look at the Pasuk before there in Melachim, it says 60 amos. We don't mean from one end to the other end. We're referring to the Heichel together with the Kodesh Kedoshim. The Heichel was 40, the Kodesh Kedoshim was 20. 40 and 20 is 60. Amizbech is also Shishim Amma, also 60. Now, the 60 doesn't mean that you have to make it 60. It means that you can make it up to the maximum of 60. And what we're saying is not that Shlomo Melech Chas V'Sholem didn't have enough Nevuah to go and realize what the dimensions were. But rather, he didn't have the benefit of this drosha that were being makish mizbeach to the Beis Olam, to the entire Beis HaMikdash. And so therefore, he knew that you can go and do a mizbeach. He didn't know exactly what the maximum was. And he figured, the minimum that I'm going to need for Klal Yisrael, he made a cheshbon of 28 by 28. Ezra Nehemiah said, no, based on the hekish that we have the Kabbalah, the Mizbeach is the same size, maximum, like the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Heichal and Kodesh Kedosh, it can be up to 60 Amos. But we feel that you don't need 60 Amos, 32 by 32 is sufficient. Zuk Yomar, Bishloi Mabayis Minker Tzurasai, El Mizbeach Mino Yadi. I can understand when Ezra Nehemiah came, they knew where to go and build the new Beis HaMikdash, because you can still find, presumably, the footprints, the foundations, where the old Beis HaMikdash stood, you could see where the walls were, etc. But how did you know where the Mizbeach was? After all, over time, in 70 years, the Mizbeach might have been a little to the right, a little bit to the left, a little bit here, a little bit there. How do they know Mizbeach mino yadi? Amr Abluza, ro Mizbeach bonui, they saw a Mizbeach built. Not a Mizbeach down below, says the Marsha. We know the Yerushalayim shel mata is Ke'en, and it's Kenegid Yishalayim Shal Ma'ala. So upstairs in Yishalayim, there's a Beis HaMikdash upstairs, where there's a Mizbeach that was also built. And Michol Sar HaGadol Oymer Makrav Olav. What did they do therefore? They made parallel straight down, made long, long, uh, long lines or long yardsticks all the way from Shemayim down to below, and they were able to find and pinpoint exactly where the Mizbeach was to be built, and that's where they were built it on that spot. Divine inspiration, exactly right.
There were no more Navis at that time.
I'm sorry,
no, there were still, it was the end of Nevuah.
Right, the Nevuah was ending over there, and then when the Bismigdish was built, and then it ended. Even Ezra Nehemiah is no longer in Nevi'im, it's in the beginning of Ksuvim. So that amount of...
The transition period.
Transition period. Okay, so with this we complete the Boisai. So we had started off with that the second Beis HaMikdash, the second Mizbeach in the times of Ezra Nehemiah was larger. Why was it larger? Because they needed it, as well as because they discovered, based on this Hekish, that you can make the Mizbeach up to 60 Amos maximum. Shlomo Melech was not aware of that Hekish, and therefore he only made it 28 by 28. He believed that that was the minimum that he needed, but they said we need more, 32 by 32. We could go to 60, but it was unnecessary.
So if it was 60 by 60, then you have the Kevesh.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine for a second they maxed out in the 60 by 60.
Okay, fine. And so then you add another 32. How much would you get?
So you get, 30, because the Kevesh...
30, right, because it would overlap. So you get 90.
90.
And you have 135. So plenty of room. Have a wonderful day, good Shabbos, and all the best to everyone.